We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
We're doing a series at the moment called Under Pressure. In it, we are looking at the pressures we face in our lives and the resources that God has given us to deal with these pressures. Pressure is not a bad thing. But when it becomes greater than our ability to cope, you ever been there? Pressure's greater than my ability to cope. It can be devastating. Just to intro this morning, I was watching an episode of the newer Top Gear recently. And I think they've got a pretty good illustration as to how we might feel sometimes when we're under pressure. Let's show that video. It's not going to work, is it? Yeah, I'm getting the move on signal. All right, so wasn't that enlightening? Didn't you enjoy watching that? What you were going to see was you were going to see a video of the newer Top Gear where they said, what's the best way to spend £150,000? And they all had different ideas as to what that was. But Matt LeBlanc said the best way is to buy this special Karcher pressure washer. And he showed how useful it is on a melon, a shed, and a Volvo. And basically, this pressure washer is about 40,000 PSI. We put about 20 PSI into our cars, don't we? And it was 40,000 PSI, and it just destroyed everything. And if there is too much pressure in our lives, then we can feel like that. We can feel totally destroyed by the pressure that is around us. Now, many of us won't face a situation that's as strong as a 40,000 PSI pressure washer, but often we have hard things going on in our lives and we don't know how to stand against it. And in this series, we want to acknowledge that there are pressures in our life. And that's why we've got these scales up here. And there's high pressure. It's a fact of life. We can't avoid it. Life will throw pressure our way and we need to know what to do about it. So last week, Warren did introduce to us these scales of the pressures of life versus God's life and the life that he might have for us. So the pressures of life are those experiences and situations, external and internal, that we find very difficult. And on the other side, we have God's life, his resources that help us to counteract those pressures. Now, there was a brilliant message last week. So if you want to go listen to it, you can go to our website. All of our messages are up there. They're on iTunes as well. So just go to, I think I've got them in the notes today, actually, c3chch.org/sermons. You can catch up if you missed it. It's well worth a listen. So today, the pressure of life that we want to look at is the pressure of anxiety. And what I'm going to call it this morning is the pressure of what if. What if? What if things don't go the way that we thought they would? What if those things that we most fear, those things that we're most worried about, actually happen? And this is a pressure of life that I think we all face, and hopefully that whole contraption is going to stand well built. And it can be too much for us. We go, what if? These things that are worrying, and we have this anxiety within us. Now, anxiety actually comes from a good place. We've been built into us the ability to remember what happened in the past and then project it into our future. This is where anxiety comes from, but it's good, because this is where imagination comes from. This is where our ability to deal with difficult situations comes from. But anxiety doesn't just affect our thinking. It releases chemicals that have effects on our bodies, on the different parts of us, and some of which we didn't even know we had. Our immune system, our endocrine system, our nervous system, our lungs, our heart, our pancreas are all affected by anxiety. This affects our ability to fight illness and our energy levels and our blood pressure. See, what it's designed for is for us to go into a mode of flight or fight by releasing adrenaline. It gives us increased ability to respond to difficult moments with clarity and with strength. However, most of us will acknowledge that our experience of anxiety is not the moment when we most need it, but it is the lingering worry about an unresolved situation we are facing. It is the thing that wakes us up at 3 a.m. and doesn't let us get back to sleep. Anyone had that? Yeah, occasionally, all the time, maybe? Yes, that's what anxiety is. It's so hard to get back to sleep again when you're suddenly going through the what if, or how am I going to deal with this situation? What's going on? See, to highlight the reality of anxiety in our life, I was wondering this morning if we could play a little game. You guys okay with playing a little game? There's no prizes. But we're going to play a little game anyway, and it's like a game show. So we have, hopefully, game show titles that are going to pop up on the screen. No, they're not. Okay, that's all right. That's an hour down the drain. But what we're going to do is we're going to play the anxiety game. Welcome to the anxiety game. I am your host this morning. Today we'll be playing this game where you need to judge just how anxious your world is. You excited? That's right. I will be giving you scenarios of danger, distress, and discomfort, and you need to judge just how fearful these make you feel. We're going to be giving you a simple scale from 1, no anxiety, to 5, of maximum anxiety. Now, you're only going to be competing against yourself, but for extra anxiety, you can ask others later how they scored to see how you compare. You ready? Before we begin, I want you to remember something. This is just a game, okay? These things are not actually happening as we go through them. If you feel yourself losing control, please take a deep breath and repeat, this is just a game. All right, section 1 is on finance. From 1 to 5, how much anxiety do you feel? You're a homeowner who receives a letter from the bank to tell you that you have not kept up your mortgage payments on your house, and they are going to take your home away from you unless you can pay a significant amount of debt. 1 to 5, just in your own mind, how are you doing? How's the anxiety levels? What would you be? 1, 2, no anxiety, a lot of anxiety. All right, hang on to it. Question 2 on finance. You like to save your money, but your partner likes to spend it. Don't nudge them. They have now purchased a new car that you don't need, and it has put you into debt. 1 to 5, how's the anxiety levels going? I'm getting a few nods. All right, section 2, family. Let's imagine that you have teenagers. One of them goes out for the night, her curfew is 10 p.m., and it's now midnight, and they're not responding to your texts. Okay, anxiety, not anger. All right. All right, 1 to 5. You just mark it off, you can see how you're doing. Okay, you have a 6-month-old. You're awakened by the sounds of a cough that sounds like a seal's bark. He seems to be struggling to breathe deeply. 1 to 5, how much anxiety are you feeling? Right, section 3, school or work. You're a student and you have an important assignment due tomorrow and you haven't started it yet. All the students are going, 1, no big deal, that's just life. What would you be? 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5? Okay, school or work, question 2. Others in your company say your boss has been asking them about your usefulness to the company, and he wants to have a meeting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How's the anxiety levels? Will you be breathing? All right. Section 4, last section, health. You have a niggling, unexplained pain. How's the anxiety? Maybe it just happens all the time. Okay, last one. This is probably the hardest of the lot. You are sitting in the dentist waiting room. Right, you've completed the anxiety game. Well done. How did you do? Did you notice that you are someone who is prone to anxiety? Were you up at the upper end? Or were you someone who is prone to not being anxious about things? Now, you'll notice that some areas push your buttons more than others. Why is that? It's because fear is our projection to the future because of our experience from the past. So our anxiety gets stronger when we go through a situation that reminds us of things that have been in the past, particularly things that have not gone well. See, I, for a period of time, had a real issue with phone calls from my family. That sounds really bad. Why would you get anxious about phone calls from your family? Do you dislike them that much? Not just that, but every time someone called, there was a near-death experience, or someone was in trouble with the police, or there was some major thing that went on. For some reason, the only time my family called me was when there was an emergency that I couldn't do anything about because I didn't live in the same city as them. And so for a long period of time, any time my phone rang and I saw it was one of my parents or one of my siblings, there rose up in this thing of me, well, what's going to be on the other end of the phone today? What if it's this? What if it's really bad? And anxiety. The phone just ringing, and my parents ringing me, made me sort of go, okay, I need to take a deep breath and then just face what's ever on the other end of the phone. It would twist my stomach. Sometimes life might seem simpler if we didn't feel for anything, but that's not good either. As we've discovered, there is a good reason you are responding the way you are. If your child is barely breathing, then you need to do something about it. It shows, number one, that you care, and number two, that there is a response necessary. That's why that response is built into us. But that response was really made for immediate situations, not for ongoing worry. If your teenager hasn't come home by midnight, then do something about it. The problem is they were designed to be temporary. Adrenaline might help you run, but it doesn't help you sleep. And what happens when anxiety soaks into your heart and mind is that it begins to corrode the things that are good. You begin to feel less secure, more hopeless, more powerless. It's real, isn't it? And it will come against us. But here's the good news. We're not staying here with just the pressures of life. Is that we actually have defenses that we can bring. So what are these defenses? How do we stop fear consuming us? Well, the first thing we can do is we can focus on the who in the situation, not just the what. Can you turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4? Some famous words here, but I think they're so important and pressing for us this morning. Here are Paul's words to the church in Philippi. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. These are great verses, aren't they? But you might look at them and you might miss the life-changing transformation within them and say, well, that's easy for you to say, Paul. I'll just pray and everything will be all right. Yeah, that seems easy for you. But actually, it wasn't easy for Paul. Paul's situation was bad. It was as bad as it comes. He wrote this letter from jail, probably from Rome. He was facing a looming death sentence over him. What he was also facing was the church that he was writing to, which was struggling. It was struggling with unity. It was struggling from the pressure from without and from within to maintain that unity. See, his call not to worry, not to be anxious, was not some person dismissing the genuine difficulties that people were going through. Instead, these are the words of someone who has seen it all, who has experienced the difficulties and yet could testify that you can overcome them. And his advice was not just that we would pray and that everything would be all right. He doesn't say pray and your life will get better. He says pray that the peace of God will come. Not the peace of your circumstance, not the peace of enough money in the bank, not the peace of it all working out, but the peace of God, that we would focus not on what, but on who. That we would turn our focus from our worries to our prayers and our trust in God. We pour our needs to God and we thank him for all he has done, then his response will be to bring his peace, the peace of inner contentment and joy. His great peace becomes our focus beyond our anxiety. See, verse 9 of Philippians 4 says this, "Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." See, it's not just the peace of God, but it's also the God of peace. That we would focus on him and we move our focus from our circumstance, from our situation. We need to change our focus from what's going on to unrelenting trust in who he is. And it's Paul's experience that if we focus on Jesus, then we can face anything. It's about turning our focus, not from what if, but to who. Hey. That's what he's asking us to do. See, God doesn't promise to keep our circumstances free of trouble. He promised there'd be trouble. He promised that there would be sickness. He promised that there would be death. But he said, in spite of all this, we could live without fear ruling our lives. I was talking to Richard Black about this topic, saying, do you have any good advice of what I can share with my friends at St. Martin's? And he said something which I thought was really profound. He said this. He said that when you think about it, fear is really a form of faith. I was like, okay, hang on a second. Let me think about that for a little bit. Fear is a form of faith? Well, when you think about it, what is faith? It is the belief or trust in something that we cannot see. What do we do when we fear? We believe and trust in something that we cannot see. We actually put our faith in our fear. We let that control us. We let that be the thing that dictates our life. See, we don't know the thing that we're most fearing will happen, but we focus our attention on it as though it is actually happening. It's just negative faith. Fear only has power when you believe that your imagined future is going to happen. Challenges me to ask myself, when I have fear and anxiety, what am I putting my faith in? Is it the situation? Or can I prayerfully and thankfully come before God with humility and fix my eyes on him? When my faith in him, when my faith in who exceeds my fear and my circumstance, then fear loses its grip. That's why we focus on the who, not the what. If you're ever walking with someone and they are suffering a great deal of anxiety, I found one of the best questions you can ask people is, where is God in your situation? What is God saying? What is he doing with you at the moment? Do you know what answer you're going to get most of the time to that question from my experience? People will look and they'll say, oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Because their focus often is more on the situation than it is in what God's doing. So we pray and we ask God to come and be part of the situation because we believe he is right there. The God of peace is ready to be with them if they will bring themselves to him. For us too, we need to soak our heart and our mind in the person of Jesus rather than the corrosive nature of anxiety. And I was looking at some experiments done this week on cola, you know, fizzy drink, with teeth. And there's this old wives' tale that if you were to soak a tooth in cola for a night, that it dissolves, it completely dissolves. Now, apparently that's not true, but I did see one experiment where they soaked a tooth in cola for 41 days, and this tooth just became as black could be. But more than that, on the inside of the tooth, things began to change. It became almost soft to the touch, so this experiment said. See, if you, cola is quite acidic, and if you soak that tooth in something acidic, it begins to break down and break away. How much more our hearts when we soak them in anxiety and worry and fear? It has physical effects. It changes these different systems in our bodies. It has massive effects upon us. So, the Bible says that we pray. And the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That when we pray, when we come before Him, this peace which is greater than anything we can understand, is not something we can get from our circumstance. It's only something that comes from God. Has the power and the ability to allow us to stay away from those corrosive effects on our life. We can never get to the point where we do not have the pressures of life come against us. As I'm sure the anxiety game showed you, it can come from so many different areas, but we do have a defense, something to defend our hearts and our minds, the peace of God. Our focus that we choose to move from our situation to the person of Jesus who holds our future. And then there's a second thing that we have. We have the who of Jesus. But then we also have the ability to move our minds from what if instead to looking at what is. The ability to move from what if to what is. We need to change our focus. Philippians 4 verse 8 says this so well. And now, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. As we seek to remain those who are free from the debilitating effects of anxiety, then we need to be those who take control of our thought life. That we are those who stay away from thoughts that are false, wrong, impure, distasteful, horrible, and fill us with despair. Now, I first learned this verse when I was a teenager, and I was convinced when I was a teenager, maybe from teaching from others, but probably more because it was, for me, the number one issue, that this verse applied to the most pressing Christian concerns, and that is to stop thinking dirty thoughts about girls. That was what I was convinced this was talking about. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, pure, lovely, admirable, think about those things and stop being such a dirty teenage boy. Use your self-control to stop those images and thoughts coming into your mind. Now I'm a bit older, I can see that Paul might have been angling for just a little bit more than that. He's encouraging his readers, he's admonishing them to bring all of their thought life before God, to fix our thoughts on the things that God has created in this world that are good, which can lift us up, not the things that drag us down. See, one of the most powerful things we can do is take control of our thought life. My daughter Hannah is 2 years old, and she's just getting her hands and her head around the idea of using a spoon. And at the moment, it's still a little bit more like she's using a knife. Just the lifting and the bringing it to her mouth is still something she's getting used to. She's doing pretty well at dipping her milk into the cereal and getting it to her mouth without dropping too much milk along the way, although a cloth is always a great idea in these circumstances. For the last couple of weeks, we've been encouraging her to eat her cereal by herself, to do it by herself. We think she can. But we've heard from her the constant complaint, I can't do it, she says to us. I can't do it, Dad. You help? I can't do it. You help? And we've been trying to encourage her to do it. And she just grumbles and complains until someone feeds her. So we've tried to rewrite the script in her mind. In our house, we told her, we don't say that we can't. Instead, we say, I'll give it a try. I'll give it a try. And we have her repeat that, and then she gives it a go. And it's really interesting to see that just that one thing of replacing that one script in her mind from I can't to I'll give it a go, she's actually able to do it. And we look down, and all of a sudden, she's eaten all of her cereal by herself, just by changing the way that she thinks. If we change the way we think, then we have the ability to cope with the pressures around us. And with our anxiety problem, we sometimes get stuck in this endless loop. It's good to process a problem, but we often can't stop processing. We have an amazing ability to get stuck in our way of thinking. Worry becomes an endless circuit of disturbing thoughts, which most often does not resolve the situation and causes these physical symptoms. See, my other daughter sometimes has bad dreams. And when she does, she comes and with tears in her eyes often says, "I can't stop thinking about it, Dad. That person turned into a horse. I can't stop thinking about it." But often, it's amazing kids, they show on the outside what we'd go through on the inside. It's often the case with us. If we were as emotionally out there as kids are, we would say, "I can't stop thinking about it. I'm stuck in this loop." And it takes work. We need to encourage a new thought to replace the old one, something with equal power, but something that is positive and is able to settle us. It takes hard work to remove those thoughts, but it is possible. And so when my daughter comes and says, "I can't stop thinking about it," we start talking about other things from her day. What's been going on? What's another powerful thought that replaces that other one? And she told me about something she'd seen from Peter Rabbit, where he did a little dance, and she did the little dance for me, and then all of a sudden that was what she thought about. So we need to find that powerful thought. What has power? Well, Paul begins his list in Philippians 4, verse 8, by saying whatever is true. Not a positivity that is just denial, but a focus on what is. A focus on what is, beginning with the presence of Jesus and the peace of God. Paul is telling us that we need to focus on what is, not what if. He brings us out of our imagined future into the very solid present by beginning with whatever is true. Now, when you focus on what is, there are still multiple things that you have to deal with, but at least you are dealing with what is in front of you, not the thousand things that crowd your mind or could be in front of you. So you look at what is happening and you deal with that, arresting all other thoughts that seek to take you down the route of what if. This is something we can do by ourselves, taking control of our thoughts. But often we need the help of others. You need to find wise people, insightful people, who can listen to you, who can listen about the things that are going on with you, and can give you some insight into your situation. Someone we can go to and talk all of our worries out, who can give us understanding and prayerfully move us towards action over what is going on in our lives. For some of us, we know it's time to rewrite the script. It's time to rewrite the script, not to let the pressures of life, the what ifs, crowd us out, but to look at who and our trust in God. And not to look at what if, but to look at what is. See, we spend so long thinking about what if. What if that terrible thing actually happens? What if the health issue gets worse? What if I never get the promotion? What if that person doesn't call me back? What if this person's behavior gets worse? What if, what if, what if? And if we get stuck in the place of what if, then the pressures of life become too much, and we will be too under pressure to be able to cope with life. So how do we combat it? Prayerfully, bring the worry to God. Focus on the who, not on the what. Take control over your thoughts. Focus on what is, not what if. Is this helpful this morning? There's some things here for us to take away. See, Philippians is this great book. It's overflowing with this sense that in his difficulties, Paul is going to be all right, even if his circumstances don't change. Surprisingly, a really key theme in Philippians is joy. 15 times in Philippians, Paul mentions joy or rejoicing in God, having joy and hoping that the Philippians do too. And here's the amazing truth. As you know his peace, as you experience renewed thoughts, then anxiety has less ability to affect your heart and mind, and you can live in freedom and in joy. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you love that? So here's what I want you to do. Got something for you to do this week. This week, when you face a problem, when you face a pressure, when you face something coming over you and your mind starts going, what if it gets worse? What if this happens? What if this future takes control? I want you to do two things. Number one, I want you to control your thoughts by saying something very simple. I will pray about my worry. When you have worries, when you have anxieties, in your own mind say, stop, I will pray about my worry. And when you pray, in your own way, all I want you to do is to pray this very simple prayer. God, I trust you. Please help. When the anxiety comes, when the what if comes, when the worry is over you, stop, say to yourself, I will pray about my worry. And then pray, God, I trust you. Please help. In your own way, in your own words, to make that the saying that's going through your mind, to make that the way you fix your thoughts, to bring yourself before the presence of God, to bring all your worries, all your cares, all your concerns, to cast them upon Him and say, God, in this moment, even though the situation might not change, I trust you. Please help. And you know what you'll find? May the peace of God, through the God of peace, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.